James chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Are you listening?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who has been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What a scripture. I'm not going to preach on it this morning, but I thought you'd like to hear it read. So. Although I shall refer to it. Wow. It's been in your Bible since you bought it, but I bet you don't read that chapter too often. Hello. But it shows you how important the tongue is. And just remember that Jesus said that we will be judged for every careless word we've spoken. For by our words we will be acquitted, and by our words we will be condemned. So, in other words, you always say nice things about me. Hallelujah. Okay, now, I will refer to this later, but I'm not going to sort of preach of it as such, because the focus that God has given us for this time is on the kingdom, and I want to keep that focus. Now, I keep impressing upon you that salvation is a process. I'm actually translating John's Gospel from the Greek into... I'm doing my own translation ready for this book that I'm writing. I haven't done anything like this since my university days, and it's actually having a very profound effect upon me, because you get right back into the original and all the rest. And as I've been going through it, it's confirmed for me even more that what Jesus is talking about is not some quick and easy ticket to salvation, but he's talking about a lifestyle, something in which we live. Now, what I want to do for you this morning is just a little... sort of visual illustration here. This is going to be the place at where we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And this is the way. Remember the first way in which Christians are described in Scripture is followers of the way. You see, they realized right from the beginning that it is a way of life. And Jesus is the way. And those who belong to him will walk in that way. Then here is the place of, or the time of judgment. Because every man will have to come before the judgment seat of Christ. And beyond that, there is the future fulfillment of the kingdom of God. So there's the kingdom now and the kingdom that is to come, which is all the same kingdom. And we want to seek to be true to what Jesus is teaching, especially in the parables about the kingdom. And we'll see where James 3 comes in to this whole process. Now, here is Jesus the way. Before a person is born again, he does not belong to the way. His feet are not on the way. He is not walking with the Lord. So, one of the things that happens when a person is born again is God takes hold of that person's life. Now, Jesus is very clear about this, that the Father takes hold of the believer and gives him to Jesus, entrusts him to Jesus. So at that point, it's as if God puts our feet on the way, on Jesus. And from this moment, we are in Jesus and he is in us. Now, his word clearly to the disciples is continue to live in me. It's this continuous present tense. Yes. Go on remaining, go on abiding, go on living, go on walking in me. Yes. And he says that if you continue in him, then you continue in love. Abide in my love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Remain in my love. Continue in my love. Live continuously in my love. Walk in my love. So this walk along the way is essentially a walk of love. It's a walk of all kinds of other things too. But you cannot walk on this way unless you walk in love.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Because he who is the way is love. Amen. So in love, God has redeemed us, saved us from darkness, and he has brought us to the light. Because Jesus is the light, and that light is the life of men. So while we're walking on this way of love, we are walking in the light. And that light is our life. A few amens would be good along the way because this is good truth. So we know that what God is calling us to do is to continue to live in him, to walk on the way, to walk in love, to walk in the light, to walk in his life, to live continuously, therefore, in the truth. So it's also a walk of faith because it was by faith, through his grace, that our feet were put on the way, and it's by faith that we will walk along the way. So it's a walk of love, but it's a walk of faith. It's a walk in the light as the children of light. We no longer belong to the darkness. The darkness is all around us. One of the most extraordinary things in Scripture that One day we'll understand. I don't know that any of us can understand it now. But the scripture describes God in all his glory, and the glory is light. But he is surrounded by impenetrable darkness. What that means, I don't know. But I believe, you see, there is something about our lives here on earth that is a reflection of that. That we're walking along this way in the light, but we're surrounded by darkness. We were part of the darkness. God has brought us out of the darkness. He's put our feet on this way of light. But the darkness is all the time wanting to try to draw people back out of the light into the darkness. So the devil, who is the prince of darkness, he is the one who is tempting, he's taunting, he's accusing, he is trying to undermine the faith and confidence of those who are on the way, because he can't get up on that way himself, but he wants to try to drag people off of the way, out of the light, and back into the darkness. Of course, we don't allow him to do that, do we? Which is why John says in his first epistle that the one who is born again, the one that is walking on this way, will not continue to sin.
Amen.
Why? Because he appreciates that sin does not belong to this way. That to abide in Christ and have Christ living in you is therefore not to sin. Now, that is, of course, not to sin deliberately. It isn't that we live in sinless perfection. Although it is clear from Scripture, that should always be our aim, to aim for godliness. So here we have this walk in the way. Now, Jesus tells us that this is the life of the kingdom. That he came with the gift of the kingdom to make it possible to live the life of the kingdom in the midst of all the darkness of the world. So when we encounter the darkness of the world, we shouldn't be surprised. And we shouldn't be surprised at the reaction of the world to us and to what we believe. Jesus said, the world will hate you. But remember that it hated me first. The world will hate you because it hates me. You can see the mistake, therefore, of trying to woo the world by being like the world. That's a tragic mistake that is made by many Christians. Because you do not win the worldly by becoming worldly. So we are a holy, set-apart people, set apart from worldliness, set apart from darkness. We are called to be the children of light. And the more we are the children of light, the more that light can impact the darkness.
Yes.
Are we getting this?
Yes.
Okay, now, there are two particular ways in which in the parables about the kingdom, Jesus is talking about this life along the way. Now, I took you students through some of those parables in the first week of term. So let me just remind you, a lot of the parables are parables of seed. Of the kingdom being like the seed. And it grows up. It grows up within the believer. It grows up among believers corporately. So that the life of the kingdom is expressed more and more fully within us and among us. For the scripture, for Jesus to say the kingdom is, as you probably know, it can be translated, the kingdom is within you or the kingdom is among you. Well, both are true. The kingdom is within us and the kingdom is among us. And the kingdom is among us because the kingdom is within us. So the kingdom, the sovereign rule of God, is growing up within us. It means that as we walk along this way, then more and more of the life of that kingdom will be evidenced in our lives. Because the life of the kingdom is growing up, it's taking a greater hold of our lives, greater hold of our understanding, of our perception. We are increasingly submitted to Christ. That this yielding of our lives to him at the beginning of our Christian experience is that, just a beginning. But as we walk along this way, our commitment to him as Lord, our submission to his authority is seen in our love for him. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. In other words, this walk has to be a walk of obedience. And as we walk in obedience, so we're outworking that life of love, and so the kingdom of God is able to increase. The rule and reign of God, the authority and the power of God is able to be expressed more and more fully in our lives. Yes. Are we all there, or am I just talking to myself here? I know what I'm talking about anyway, so you can sit there and do what you like, but I'm enjoying myself. Now, the other emphasis in the parables, I'm sort of paraphrasing a whole lot here, is reproduction. That what God anticipates is the 5 become 10 and the 2 become 4 and so on. It's all a matter of production. So this is a walk that is not an end in itself. The purpose of this walk is not to get us through the judgment and in to the fulfillment of the kingdom, of the glory of God beyond that. It's actually so that we can not only know the life of the kingdom growing within us, but we can be reproducers of the seed that God has put within us. And this is what the parable of the sower is about, that if the seed is on good soil, then it will reproduce 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. And you can go to other scriptures. One will produce 1,000 and 2, 10,000 and all the rest of it. So there is no limit to what God can reproduce through those that are walking on the way. Hallelujah. Now, when it comes to the time of judgment, Christians are not going to be judged as to whether we're on the way or not. God knows we're on the way because he's the one who put us there. He's the one who put us into Christ. But what we will have to give account of is what we have done along the way. What we have produced or reproduced. And so Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, which to put in modern language means that you are greatly productive.
Hallelujah.
You produce a lot.
Right.
That's what glorifies the Father. But it's not just producing a lot of works.
Yeah.
It's producing that which lasts. That which has eternal significance. That, therefore, which is the work of the Spirit in and through us. So the kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So here we are walking along this way, wanting to be reproductive. Now, does everybody that starts on this way continue to walk on the way? And the answer to that clearly in Scripture is no.
Right.
Even in the parable of the sower, there are some who will start well. But when the pressure of walking along this way gets to a certain point, they will opt out.
Yeah.
The seed will wither. Now, how is God going to view them at the judgment? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. And that is very deliberate on God's part, because the last thing that God intends in giving us the scriptures is that we should try to find the least common denominator for getting through the judgment.
That's right.
That's it.
What God is concerned about is that we live the life of the kingdom as we walk along this way, and we reproduce that life in others. Are we there?
Yes.
Now, there are those that walk along this way, but they're allowing things of darkness, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, to also still be a part of their lives. So they may have their feet on this way, but those other things choke them. And because the seed gets choked, it can't be reproduced. It can't be productive. It gets choked before the fruitful season, where then it can sow its seeds.
Right.
Are you there?
Right.
There's the guy who was given just the one minor, whatever. And he, you see, what did he do? He went and buried what he had. He did not reproduce. So when it came to the judgment, what did God say? I mean, to the one who reproduced according to the capacity, because God gave according to the capacity each had, but they reproduced. They got a good press. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. But the one who did not reproduce, you worthless servant, throw him out into the darkness, the place of wailing and grinding of teeth. Now, he was entrusted with something. His life or what? Is he one who is saved but just lives for himself? Is he an unsaved person who doesn't do anything with his life? Who knows? But what we can be sure of is that without the fruitfulness, there is no reward. And from my understanding, you can only be thrown out into the darkness if at that moment you're not in it.
Yes, Lord.
Hello? You can't be thrown into the darkness if you're already in the darkness. You can't be thrown out unless you're in something. Hello? Now, you see, people want to ask the question, is, well, is he saved or not? But that shows a complete lack of understanding of salvation. That to have my feet put here is salvation. To walk here is salvation. To come to the judgment and hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant, is salvation. That I have been saved, I am being saved, I will be saved. The scripture is very clear. Now, I believe the assurance that God wants us to have is that if we've begun well, we can continue well and we will finish well. And we need have no fear of the judgment that is to come. Because we know we have lived for the King.
Yes.
That our whole lives are focused on pleasing Him, on fulfilling His will and His purpose for our lives. So this is not a walk of fear. Am I producing enough? Am I being effective enough? Am I sowing enough seeds? Because that is not what the scripture talks about. Jesus says, remain in me, rest in me, abide in me. If you do that, you will be fruitful. Yes. Why? Because the Holy Spirit working within us will ensure that we're fruitful.
Hallelujah.
This is what we read in Hebrews as the rest of faith.
Hallelujah.
It's knowing that if we just walk in the way of the Lord. We believe his word. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and God's kingdom life within us will enable us to be fruitful. We shall be fruitful. And there will be a great reward for us when we come before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. This is not about making acts of commitment.
That's right.
It's about a walk. It's about the will of God. It's about the way of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I believe that God wants us to have the assurance of salvation. And I've always preached the assurance of salvation. The assurance is that we are part of this process, that God is faithful, and he who has begun the good work in us will bring it to completion.
Yes, hallelujah.
But it does require that we walk with him, we live in him, we obey him, we seek to please him, we want to do his will. Now, why do I say this? Because I believe this is the way Jesus lived. Now, Jesus wasn't in darkness before he was born into the world. He was in heaven. So the scripture talks about him coming down from heaven, so we can talk about coming down from him. But instead of coming out of the darkness into the light, he came from heaven as the light. Now, let's just see how Jesus lived. He grew up in obscurity for 30 years. He was waiting for the Father's timing, for the walk that he would have to take towards judgment. The cross was the place of judgment, not for his sins, but ours. Our sins have already been judged through what happened on the cross. Anybody breathing here? They're so quiet. It's like talking to myself this morning. Now, Jesus then begins his ministry full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He waits for that divine encounter, for that commissioning, really, from God to begin. Now, what is he doing? He is preaching the kingdom. He is doing the works of the kingdom. He is demonstrating the presence of the kingdom. Everything is focused around the kingdom. Now, of course, he's walking along the way because he is the way. He is the one who is sort of forging this way of light in the midst of the darkness. Nobody has walked this way before. Even John was just the one who was sent to prepare the way for Jesus to be this light that is going to be forged. It's like if you can imagine, a landscape of desert, and a road is built across the desert. And what Jesus was doing was building that road. So we do not have to build a road or find a way through the wilderness. God has already done that. All we've got to do is to walk along this way that he has formed.
Hallelujah.
So he has forged the way before us, and he says, my sheep hear my voice. They listen to my voice, and they follow me. They follow me along that way. So Jesus knew how essential it was for him to actually demonstrate what it means to be the way. He had to do the way, not just be the way. He had to form the way. And he's forming the way into the eternal glory. Now, he says very clearly that he that believes in him has eternal life. So, along this way, as we believe, we receive that life that is internal. It is entrusted to us. But it is a life to be lived, not a life to possess.
Come on.
You see, there are so many people who, in their theological thinking, believe that all that matters is that you possess eternal life and then you will have all eternity. But Jesus did not give us eternal life to get us to heaven. He gave us eternal life for us to live here on earth.
Yes.
And so to be part of his eternal kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. So Jesus is walking on, this is, I always call it the way, let me correct. When God speaks to me about the way, he calls it the way eternal. And I found that exceedingly helpful, because it's like saying to me, Colin, you're walking on the way eternal.
Awesome.
And it is going to go on, isn't it? Beyond judgment. It's going to go beyond it, into the fulfillment of the kingdom in the new heaven and the new earth. There is that way eternal. Hallelujah. I mean, who wants to belong to the darkness when you can walk on the way eternal? So Jesus demonstrated that the life of this kingdom overcomes whatever is of darkness. Now, he was demonstrating that long before he got to the cross. So sin was forgiven, because sin is darkness. Sicknesses were being healed. People were being set free from demonic powers. His whole controversy, and I mean, you've only got to read especially Matthew and John's Gospels to see that Jesus' life was one of constant confrontation. Really, constant confrontation. I mean, you know, the religious leaders, you see, they were not on the way eternal. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, Jesus said that their father was the devil because they still lived in this darkness. Now, you see, you can be very religious in the darkness. But the way eternal is not the place of religious or religiosity. It's the place of life.
Hallelujah.
It's the place of light.
Hallelujah.
It's not the place of religious conformity.
Right.
It's not the place of legalism.
Hallelujah.
Neither is it the place of license. It's the walk of liberty.
Hallelujah.
It's the walk of freedom.
Yes, Lord.
So it is for freedom Christ has set us free. So Jesus is demonstrating what it is to live a free life.
Yes, Lord.
But to recognize that in living that, there will be constant opposition from the darkness. The world will hate you. The religious will oppose you.
That's it. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Hello.
Thank you, Jesus.
Little do you know. But anyway, I could talk to a lot about that, some personal testimony of that. But you just learn, well, that's all part of the deal.
Hallelujah.
Just as it was for Jesus, so it was for us. He says, when men persecute you, jump for joy, rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Because they're treating you as they treated me.
Right.
But great will be your reward in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because you persevered along the way, despite the opposition, despite the persecution, despite the opposition from religious powers, you have kept faith with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I think, you see, people that sort of teach a cheap salvation are actually guilty. I mean, this is why I read that scripture from James 3, because, you know, if we're teachers, we better teach the right stuff.
Absolutely. Come on.
You give people the impression that because Jesus put their feet on the way, that everything is hunky-dory for the whole of eternity. And you are preaching deception and you're leading people into deception. When it is quite clear from the teaching of Jesus is that disciples are those who walk on the way.
Right.
and the commission that the church is given is not to go and make people who make commitments, but to go and make disciples. So when it comes to the time of judgment and there is the division of the sheep and the goats, you see, what is the difference between the two? To me, the fearful thing about that scripture is the goats thought they were sheep. The goats could not understand why they were being judged in the way they were. But what was the difference between the two? That as they walked upon the way, the sheep did the business.
Come on.
I don't know what the goats were doing. They might have been having their prayer meetings and study meetings and all kinds of meetings. But they weren't doing the business of the kingdom.
That's right.
They were like the guy that buried his talent. That's right. So here we are, walking on the way, full of the Holy Spirit of God, with all the opportunities that He gives us to actually speak, act, and live the life of the kingdom. To accept all the opportunities that God gives us to do that. Now, let's see what these works are. Jesus made it quite clear, because somebody asked him, what should we do the works of God? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. Now you see, you take that out of its context, and you could think, well, all I got to do is to believe. But you go into the earlier part of James, and he says quite rightly, faith without works is dead. And listen, there is no controversy between Paul and James' Amen. Theology of salvation. Amen. You read what Paul says about the life we are to live as Christians, and he would say amen to what James is saying. That faith without works is dead. What Paul is saying is the works don't save you. There's no works you can do that will get you onto the way. But what James is talking about and what Paul talks about in the whole of his teaching is that if you are a person of faith walking on the way, there will be the works of faith.
Yes. Right.
And if there are not just works, but the works of faith, this is what Jesus is saying, that the work of God is this. It's to do the works of faith, to trust completely, wholeheartedly in God, so that the life of His Spirit and of His kingdom can come forth in what you're saying and in what you're doing.
Yes, Lord. That's it.
Are we getting this?
Yes.
This is all very simple, really. It's only made complicated by anybody, you know, by those who think that anybody that says that there's got to be any works is immediately denying salvation by grace. Well, that's a load of hooey. I mean, it's unholy rhubarb. Because if there are not the works, the big question mark scripturally is, how can there be any salvation? Because the one who is saved will actually demonstrate that he is saved by the person he is, the things he says, and what he does, and therefore the fruit that he produces, because it will be seen that he's a person of faith, because he will produce the works of faith.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Amen. So you see, while you're here as students, you're becoming men and women of faith, so that as you walk along this way, you are going to be abundantly fruitful for the glory of God. So Jesus is very, very, very clear that on this day, even those who walk along the way, they will have to pass through the judgment. Now, what is going to happen for the born again, the one who has been walking in salvation? Jesus says he will be rewarded according to what he has done. Very clear about this. Jesus says this. So it's not that we approach judgment with the fear we're going to get thrown out into the outer darkness. What will be assessed here is your reward. You see, those that reproduced, the master said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." You have been productive. You have, according to the capacity, your capacity, you have reproduced. So that means we never look at someone else and compare what we are producing with what they are producing.
Right.
Because each one of us has his own capacity.
Yes, Lord.
And what matters is that we are faithful in reproducing according to our capacity.
Yes. True.
According to the anointing and the grace that God has put upon our lives. So, you know, God knows how much he can entrust to us. Now, that is not a fatalistic kind of attitude, because what we should be aspiring to is God entrusting more and more to us. You see, the one who had five made ten, didn't he? What did the master say about the one who only had one? He said, "Take that and give it to the one who has ten." Why? Because he'll use it.
Right.
So we want God to entrust more and more and more to us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, but he says, you have to prove trustworthy in small things, then you will be put in charge of bigger things. You will be entrusted with more and more and more. You see, you want to prosper in the Lord. Prosper financially. Let's just deal with a very down-to-earth subject like money. Well, if God makes money available to you, he is watching how you use it. Because how you use it will determine how much more he will entrust you with in the future. If you use it wisely in the way that he says, then he is going to entrust you with more and still more. And still more. And he knows that you are trustworthy in the business of money, you see, if you are giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. He says, there is someone I can entrust. I can give much more to him because he'll continue to give. He won't build a mansion. He will use it for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
And in that way, he will be sowing. Because, I mean, money can be seed as well as the word of God. You sow a little, you reap a little, you sow much, you reap much. When's the reaping going to come? Well, the reaping is what you're producing along here, but it's also the reward you're going to reap. Great will be your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. So it's good, isn't it? That we sort of put the whole thing together like this. What a tremendous responsibility, James is saying, to be a teacher. Because, you see, the temptation when you're responsible for teaching others is to say what they want to hear.
Right. That's it. Right.
Yes.
You see, if we reverse the roles, and I went to preach in the House of Commons,
come on.
I would get shouted down and howled down for what I was saying. Any of you have done an outdoor, you know what that's like. Great fun, but, you know, you got to be on the ball, haven't you? Hallelujah. Because, you see, where the light confronts darkness, then there's always going to be tension,
yes.
Conflict.
Yes.
You can't help it. So the one that is wanting a nice, quiet life, walking along the way with my Jesus... I mean, hasn't begun to understand what the whole thing is about.
Right.
Oh, I just love my Jesus. Oh, he's so wonderful. Well, I love my Jesus. But it's not just sort of tripping the light fantastic. Oh, oh, oh. I mean, those are the super spits, aren't they?
That's it, absolutely.
And there are no super spits in God's in kingdom faith. So, praise God that along this way he has prepared good works.
Hallelujah.
For us to walk in.
Right.
You see, this is the thing. We don't even really have to produce the works. We just have to do the works. But they're the works that he has prepared for us. They're the works that will come out of faith in him. They're the works that will be the works of the Holy Spirit that God will do in and through us. They're the works which will therefore enable the light of Christ to penetrate into the darkness of other people's lives.
Hallelujah.
And set them free.
That's
so what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege to belong to the kingdom.
Yes.
And what a tremendous responsibility to walk in the way everlasting. In the way of the kingdom. Now, just one or two more quick things before we finish. This is the way of righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Of integrity. It's the way of joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the man of joy. That joy anointed him above his companions. Or that anointing raised him above his companions. So it's a joyful walk. Saint Miserables are not progressing very well on the way everlasting. Amen. It doesn't mean that there won't be times when we have to weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, and all the rest of it. But it is a time of joy. It's rejoicing in the Lord always. Why? Because the light has overcome the darkness. It is also the way of peace. But where do you get peace? Peace is a gift of God. But it comes with fulfilling the will of God. When there is tension between you and God, the first thing that you lose is your peace. Very difficult thing to define, but you just don't have it. And you know, well, there's something wrong. You may not be able to identify at first what is wrong, but you jolly well know something is wrong. And the only way that you get that peace back is by making your peace with God. And of course, the Holy Spirit will show us what is wrong. We will put that right. Then where the peace is restored, the joy is restored, and we can continue to walk in righteousness on the way everlasting. So the whole of this thing, the salvation, the kingdom, the walk, everything is focused around Jesus.
Amen.
But listen, the end is to please the Father.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
The Father and Jesus are one. But you see, what Hebrews says is fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he is the one who's opened up the way. He is the good shepherd who goes before you. He is the one whose voice you listen to. He is the one you obey. He is the one who, by his Holy Spirit, will enable you to do the works of faith. So your whole focus is on him. And Jesus has been given the authority to judge by his Father. So you will come through that. And what he then says is that he will present you to the Father spotless, blameless.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why? Because when you stand before him, for whatever imperfections there have been along the way, and there will be times when you will fail. There may even be times when you've got one foot in the darkness. Something happens in your life and you compromise what you believe for a season. But the tensions that that produces in your life are such that you realize you've got to get both feet back on the way and keep walking in the way to please the Lord. But the amazing thing is that mercy got you here. And mercy keeps you here. Grace got you here, and grace attends you every step along the way. Hallelujah. Love puts you there, and love keeps you there. His love for you, your love for him, and that relationship of love that exists. So we are at one with him along this way. So we are such a blessed and privileged people. There are no more privileged people in all the world than us. The only people that are equally privileged are the others who have their feet on the way. And we can be so thankful to God that he has opened up our understanding so we do perceive clearly what he is wanting, expecting, and is able to work in us for his glory.
Yep.
And that's the essence of it. Because, you see, if I can just slip in a little bit of personal testimony to finish. As you walk along this way, from my experience, you find yourself constantly astonished. You're not only astonished about God and who he is and the wonder of his love and mercy, grace, but you're astonished at what you find yourself doing. You're astonished at what his grace and his anointing enables you to do. That actually, if you were seeking to walk along that way in your own strength, A, you wouldn't be able to do it, but B, these astonishing things that are happening in your life could not happen. So, God will have you doing things which beforehand you could never have imagined. And this is why Paul says that God is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And one of the things that some Christians have done to limit what God could do in their lives is that when God has put something before them as they're walking on the way everlasting, that they say, no, that That couldn't be true for me. I couldn't do that. That is beyond me. And you see, the Lord's answer to that is precisely. But this is what it means to walk on the way everlasting. It means that you live beyond yourself. That you're not limited by yourself, but you're living beyond yourself. So Jesus says, if anyone would follow me along the way, he must deny himself, because what are you going to accomplish? What are you going to achieve? What fruit will you be able to produce? You won't be able to produce any fruit that lasts. So he who seeks to save his life will lose it. That was the problem with the guy who buried his talent. He was seeking to save what he had, and he lost it. But he who loses his life for my sake and for the kingdom will find it. And that's it. Okay, I'm ready to lose myself, Lord, to do whatever you put before me. I know it will often be what I could never have imagined, never have thought, that often it's going to be what is way, way beyond me. But your grace, your anointing, your empowering will enable me, because I will do it by the power of God that is within me. By the life of the kingdom within me. So you, especially you younger people, you cannot know what God has before you. When I first ordained, I mean, I'd got all my qualifications and all the rest. And, you know, you sort of feel after years of study and preparation that at last you've arrived. In those days, you got your dog collar. And because that was a sign of respect in society in those days. It was almost like a status symbol. Not any longer, but it was then. So, you know, I couldn't have conceived, not had the remotest idea what God could do with my life. Because I thought, well, all I had to be was a faithful parish priest. That's it. Just faithfully serving God's people wherever he put me to serve. Now you see, when God put my feet on the way everlasting, he could see all the way to the judgment and beyond. He already knows what reward awaits me. I don't, and it's just as well I don't. See, I don't want to die now, because I want to fulfill everything for which God has called me. Because the reward is going to be so much greater. I think the enemy sometimes wants people to have death prematurely to steal some of the reward. But we stand against him. We have the shield of faith with which we quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Don't make a theology out of that. Don't make a theology out of that. But because the enemy wants to stop people that are productive for the kingdom. Because when you're productive for the kingdom, you are encroaching upon his darkness. I mean, God saves some people out of the situation that they're in. The scripture is clear about that. So, here we are, walking together along the way everlasting. It is not a walk that you can take alone. No such thing as an independent Christian. You have to go as part of the body of Christ. You have to go as part of the church. You have to be linked. You've got to go hand in hand with the other believers that God puts with you. If you break covenant or fellowship with them, you break covenant and fellowship with God. However you treat them, you treat him. So here you are walking on the way everlasting with all these wonderful people that are around you at Rafi. The ones that are easy to walk with, the ones that are not so easy to walk with, as far as you're concerned. But then the ones that are not easy to walk with, God has ensured he puts right next to you so that all those negatives that are still within you can be dealt with. Amen. So the refining, purifying fire of the Spirit can make you more productive. So isn't this a wonderful, wonderful gospel? Isn't it wonderful, wonderful life that we have? And I mean, you see, always get things in perspective. When you wake up in the morning, if you haven't yet overcome this desire to stay in bed, the Lord is waiting for you. And this new day that is dawning is a day when you will walk with him. Hallelujah. On the way everlasting. And he wants to speak with you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you. He wants to motivate you. He wants to help you for that walk, that day. And he knows he can't do that while you're sleeping. And he can't do that while you're rushing around, doing this, that, and the other. That you just need that time and that space with him. See? So he is waiting there. Because his heart towards you, his longing, his desire for you is that you should be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful beyond anything that you could imagine. So when you come in here, it's not just for another 8 o'clock. It's because you're on the way everlasting and you're one with the Lord, the King. Amen. Who is leading you, the Good Shepherd. Amen. And you know that if you follow him, you shall want for nothing.
Yes.
Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I want you just to lift your hands and thank the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That your feet are on the way. That you're walking on the way. Now thank the Lord that you've proved faithful so far because you're here.
Hallelujah.
So he's kept you on the way this far, hasn't he? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he who has begun a good work is going to bring it to completion.
Yes, yes, yes.
So your trust is in him.
Yes,
in his enabling, in his empowering.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Come on, let's just exalt him. Let's praise him. Purata parazata bakarasutrizatu. Barata parazatu bakarasutrizatu. Now thank him for his mercy and his grace. That by that grace he is going to do far more abundantly than all you could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within you. Come on, thank him. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Thank him that the times are in his hands. The future is in his hands. You are in his hands. God is faithful and he will do it. Hallelujah. He will cause your light to shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord that you're in for the long haul. It's the eternal one. Hallelujah. This is the way everlasting. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. There's no turning back. There's no opting out. Thank the Lord you're going all the way. No matter what it costs, you're going all the way, all the way. Purata parazata bakara sitarizatuba. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, mighty, wonderful Lord. I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you praise. What a wonderful God you are. So sure in all your ways, Lord. Faithful in all your works. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, kara batotara basatu bukara situ disatu bukara situ ba. Oh, yes, 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 yes. There's no turning back. There's no going to the left or the right. We're going straight ahead. We're following Jesus, step by step, day by day. Purata parazatu bukarasito ba. Barata parazatu bakarasito disatu ba. Barata parazatu bukarasito disatu ba. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Lord, we thank you for the precious gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your Spirit lives within us. Thank you that he is going to enable us to do that which pleases you, that which fulfills your plan and purpose for our lives. Lord, we just pray for all those backslidden people, those that perhaps started along the way and for one reason or another are no longer walking on that way. Lord, we pray for such a mighty moving of your Spirit in their lives that you bring them right back into the center and the heart of your will and of your purpose.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray for any that have just stopped along the way because They've come to something that they don't want to do, some act of obedience they don't want to make, or whatever it may be that has caused them to stop. And we just pray, Lord, for your grace to enable them to break through whatever they need to break through, so they continue on that walk and they become exceedingly and abundantly more fruitful than ever they were in the past. Thank you, Lord. You don't want us, the scripture is very clear, you don't want us to have big ideas about ourselves, but we want to fulfill the big ideas you have for us. So we give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you. You will stretch us and enlarge us and equip us and enable us. And above all, Lord, that you will be blessed because of us. And we give you all the glory. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah.